You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
The sporting weekend will be, there's baseball back. Wimbledon is going on. Many of the big names are already out there. I don't really stay in touch much with tennis, but it is going on. Before we get into all this, we found this this audio piece this morning. Serena, she's going to have a baby, right? She's the one that is very pregnant. Her sister just had a real bad wreck, and I don't know. But Venus is playing today in the semis, and Serena is having a child. These two are incredible athletes and are very impressive in their sport or in any sport for what they've accomplished. And so Serena was in an interview, I guess, this week with all the events over there in London going on around this tournament. And she was asked about the first time that she ever won a check that was for $1 million in a check made out to her. And here's what she did with it.
What was that feeling like when you got that? Never touched it.
Never touched it. I just put it in the bank. And I remember I went through the drive-through to deposit my check. And then they were like, I think you need to come in for this. And so I ended up going inside. So I was just like,
just put it in my account.
Just put it in my
account.
But
did you like stare at it for a while? Or did you like?
I should have took a picture of it. And like, you know, because selfies didn't exist back then.
Exactly.
Right?
Selfies did.
Well, going through the drive-thru, can I put this check in, please?
Right in my checking account.
It's a million-dollar check, hon. The ESPYs were on last night. Even Peyton Manning, who is one of the most articulate and well-spoken athletes out there ever. And I, you know, when you begin to think about the athletes that could, that can speak and can orate and you know, pull off an event like this, the list is short. But Peyton is pretty glib and pretty funny, and his career will likely involve some kind of a broadcasting thing if he wishes to do that. But even he can't pull off the inane nonsense that this thing is in general. And there are some of these people need to just lighten the F up. Kevin Durant is no doubt an incredible ball player. And this is the most talked about, or one of the most moments from last night when Peyton made a joke about Kevin Durant, and they held this camera on Durant. He never smiles. He just gives him this dead eye lock death stare.
And our gymnastics team was so dominant that Kevin Durant told me he wants to play for them next year.
And Durant sits there with this badass look on his face, and it's, dude, just lighten up. Everybody knows that you're a tough guy, but, you know, calm down. But many of these men didn't seem amused, didn't like being picked on or played with, because they're all so heavy and so important. You play football. Get over yourself. One of the moments that was, it wasn't great, but it at least broke the monotony of these athletes saying nothing and winning the awards for the best catch of the year. I mean, come on, people. This is just a waste of time. Bill Murray, probably the most famous Cub fan in the world. He and Eddie Vedder and a number of famous folk are big fans of the Cubs. And they showed a great montage of videos the night the Cubs won the World Series after 107 years. And so Bill came out wearing this little hat that was goofy, and he was kind of stumbly. And I thought, he's starting to look old, and he's walking old. Now, I think he was just kind of goofing, and he had definitely been backstage having some cocktails. So what he did, it was he and Nick Offerman, who you know from Parks and Rec, and he wrote a few books, and he's been around. He's a funny guy, too, and a Cub fan. So he introduced Bill Murray. And then there was a guy in the background with a hoodie up and a mop bucket. And he was mopping the floor. And he walks in. He goes, okay, this is somebody famous. Well, this ends up being David Wells, who was a Cub last year. He was the older guy in the on the team, and he was catcher, and then he went on to Dancing with the Stars. So they had this this bit that was awkward, where they pulled some champagne out of the bucket, and David Wells danced, and Bill Murray was drunk. But here's an edited version. Bill didn't cuss or anything, but he was funny for a minute. He was moved, as were Cub fans, and other folks were going, okay, get him off. But Bill Murray is Bill Murray, all right?
108 years of waiting is hardly a moment. This is the culmination of 108 years of momentum. Momentum by momentous men. Men like Greg Maddux, Rhino, Sut, the Hawk, Sammy, Bob Dineer, Jody Davis. Did I say Sut? Mark Grace, Ron Santo, Billy Williams. And then I suppose you heard we won. Mr. Cub, Mr. Ernie Banks. Excuse me, one sec. Hey, do you don't have any leftovers, do you? Attaboy. Thank you, attaboy. Attaboy, thanks very much. I learned how to do this on a food channel.
He was cutting off the bottles of champagne with a sword.
Oh, no.
So it was kind of clumsy. He was kind of tipsy, but it was still not some other athlete being a badass and going, yeah, thank you very much. And, all right, next, the ESPYs. We don't need it. But anyway, that's just my opinion. Baseball is heading into the second half of the season. These teams have played about 89 games, about 90 games. So which they got about 71 or two games left in general, which can change a number of things. The things to watch at this point. Now, there can be movement. Teams go on streaks. They win some, they lose some. But the ones to watch include the American League, the Red Sox and Yankees, 2.5 games apart. I'll make that 3.5. And Tampa Bay is right there with the Yankees, 3.5 games out behind Boston. And the AL, the Twins, 2.5 games behind the Indians, who were in the series last year. So that's one to watch. In the American League West, this may already be done, as the Astros have a great advantage over the Dodgers, almost 17 games, and that's not going to be made up. LA's playing great. In the NL East, the Nationals have a 9.5 game lead over the Braves. That's probably insurmountable, but stranger things have happened. The one that matters to folks around here is the National League and their division, the Central, which includes the Cubs and Cardinals. Milwaukee has a 5.5 game lead on both the Cubs and Cardinals. So it'll be really fun to watch Milwaukee, the Cubs, and Cardinals. Pittsburgh only 7 games out, the Reds at the bottom of the thing, but they aren't done either. In the West, the Dodgers have a pretty good lead on Arizona. The AL, that's the Angels, not Dodgers. So the LA Dodgers have a pretty good size lead on the Diamondbacks. So there are some fun storylines, some young kids playing great baseball, and some great races yet to be held in the next 70 or so games. In other sports notes, it's people signing people in the NBA. Big trades being discussed. I think most people have lost interest. Excuse me. And so they'll keep this up. And they're trying now to make the NBA a year-round sport like football is by discussing it endlessly. And not that many people are that interested in every teeny thing about the NBA. The Cavaliers re-signed Kyle Korver. Nobody cares. This, though, is worthy of note. The NBA has introduced some changes to speed up the game. Now, these games don't go on that long. This isn't like the NFL where the games just go on forever sometimes. But they made these changes to go into effect this coming season. The max number of timeouts per game has been reduced from 18 to 14. Now, I don't know if that means full timeouts or the short timeouts. Also, in the final 3 minutes of regulation, teams are now allowed just 2 timeouts and not 3. They also moved up the trade deadline by 2 weeks to the second Thursday in February. So these things will not be that obvious, but they will disallow some of these timeouts that make these games at the end go on forever. And it's fun sometimes. It involves, some free throws and stop and time. But they're going to try to end all that nonsense and make these games move faster. So that's pretty much it. The baseball back tomorrow. And there's golf. There's Wimbledon, NBA, D-League stuff on television. Otherwise, you're out of luck. You got to go back and watch, some ESPN Classic or read. Or watch a movie or go outside and do something funner. The email address here, mail@drakeinthemorning.com. Wes reads the words.
I do. Bill wrote in these words about the preseason NFL and college week one. Said, you always ask about the college football, great teams against non-conference pushover teams. It's just the NCAA's version of preseason without calling it that, because that would maybe be unfair to the lesser programs. It gives the big programs time to tune up games before it counts. And like you said, it helps bring people out to the smaller programs' games, which is one positive about it. For the NFL, I believe the quality has dropped off. And the more we try and protect players, the more they get hurt, because the players believe that the more they're protected, then they don't have to bother to learn the fundamentals of tackling and hitting properly. They just focus on going really fast and hitting people. Also, years ago, a player's first priority was to play well for the team and do their job. And if you made a great play or a great hit and made the highlight reel on TV, it was a bonus. Now they go out on the field trying to make the highlight reel because it gets used to negotiate more money at contract.
Well, parts of that I'll buy into. This has changed so much in the generation of concussive issues and brain damage and suicides by players because now these teams are limited to the number of hours and days per week that they can practice in pads. All that hitting all week long has been stopped. And they practice, I think that maybe Thursday or something, or Wednesday, they practice in pads in the season. But otherwise, they don't, and they've cut out some of that stuff. These players and coaches, the coaches, many of them are recycled, and these teams – to me, the past couple of years, NFL teams, they all look alike. They're all doing the same kind of offensive approach, the same kind of defensive approach, because these coaches kind of share ideas. And the teams that stand out are the teams that have the best players, and some teams have great players, and the best coaches. Ask the Patriots. Belichick is one of the biggest a-holes in the history of sport coaching, but he can win with anybody. Because it's his system, it's his motivation, plus he has Tom Brady. But some of these teams are never going to be winners. They're just not. It's the same teams every year, and on occasion, one team will sneak through. Jacksonville, perhaps, or Carolina. It was the Falcons last year. But these teams all look alike, and it's the special players that stand out that make the teams more exciting to watch than not. That's why I think that the viewership is down for the NFL. That and the reason, and the NFL Network's Red Zone has changed how people watch football. And until the networks like CBS, NFL, ABC find a way to combat that, the viewership will continue to go down. The Red Zone has got football on for 6 hours with no commercials. And unless your team is on NBC, ABC, whomever on Sunday, you're not going to sit there through all those commercials and all these timeouts to watch this game when you can watch every game that's going on and at the same time on the Red Zone. That's a real challenge for the NFL, but The exhibition games are a waste of time. I don't know what his point was there, but they only practice for about 2 weeks before this Hall of Fame game, August 3rd to Cowboys and Cardinals. Then they begin these exhibition games almost immediately. And the first string players play, you know, one series of downs. Then they're watching the up-and-comers to see who they keep and who they cut. But it's still too much. It goes on too long. Most fans and most coaches and players agree to that too, yet they don't change it. We will all watch it. It's fun, and it's a great part of autumn. College football is very exciting and has become much more fun to watch than the NFL has. Nick Saban he made his usual fun comments about that Alabama won't be any good this year because they're just young, and now they'll beat everybody by 40, and it's just the usual nonsense. But all this stuff is gearing up, but the NFL, it's just not as fun as it used to be, but you can watch it or you cannot watch it. It's your choice.
This one from Amy about the SB show said, one of the few bright spots of that show was the story of the high school basketball coach from New Jersey and John Stewart's introduction of the serviceman who won the Pat Tillman Award.
I didn't see that, but that was probably good because Pat Tillman is a revered man who played for the St. Louis Cardinals, or I'm not sure which team he was on. He was a Cardinal. But he left football, where he was a successful player, to join the Army. After 9/11, he wanted to serve his country. And he left to go serve his country. And he was a victim of friendly fire and was killed. And so his name means a lot in the NFL and in sports to a ton of people. Matter of fact, I think I've got, so John Stewart brought him up.
That's what she says, yeah.
Let's see what this sounded like.
When I first saw my face, at that moment, all I thought was that my son was going to be afraid of me just by looking at me. So 6 months later, after I got out of the hospital, I came home. My son comes running up to me. And all of a sudden stops. And all that fear comes rushing back in that he's probably afraid of me. But he just tilts his head to the side and says, Papi? I was like, yeah, buddy. And he comes up and gives the most amazing hug I've ever felt in my life. And he was right. All my son wanted was his dad.
That fellow is Air Force Sergeant Israel Del Toro Jr., who received the Tillman Award last night. He almost died in Afghanistan in 2005 when his Humvee rolled over a mine. He survived. He is an athlete in his own right who has won some medals before, but he won the ESPY last night, and that sounds like it was pretty emotional. And those are the moments that are worth the time to watch that show. There are not very many of them, but they're very sweet. And the entire idea about getting money to fight cancer, you just can't ever not appreciate that and respect those that do it. I just wish they would do it sometimes without trying to make themselves look like heroes. It ain't about you. It's about helping research and doctors find cures for cancer, who affects everybody that we know in our lives. We've all lost people. And so that's the good part of the ESPYs. The rest of it's a bunch of showbiz doo-doo.
And this one from Ed on the water and the drilling says the coal ash at the Allen plant is from the plant that TVA itself operates. They burn the coal there to power the plant and create the power. There was a reason that those in the know didn't want them to drill there. It's known that this area, like most industrial areas, is an area full of known pollutants. The aquifer is well protected by layers of clay. That's the aquifer being where we get the drinking water. However, the drilling by the TVA opens up a window for pollutants and contaminants to get into the aquifer, and that's what the whole issue is about, is what he sees.
Well, and, you know, people like him that know what's going on are smart, and for every one of him, there are 100 that don't know and don't care, and that's the problem we have. No one's paying attention.
Yeah. And Scotty says, I think I'm happy that I'm a transplant to this lovely city because I don't think I would want to see my dad driving in this town. He's bad enough being from Ripley, Tennessee, which is only about 7,500 people. I personally just blare music and pretend like people don't exist when they forget to use their blinker and cut you off. Keep up the fantastic work.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, it is the worst. Well, this probably goes for a number of you. It's the worst part of my day driving anywhere for any reason. Now, coming here in the morning from South Haven is about a half hour, and it's okay. It's not too bad because everybody isn't that bad. But, man, people are living in dream worlds, and the more you talk about it, the more media campaigns, the more signs they put up, get off your phone, put your seatbelt on. People are oblivious to this, and you see them driving down Poplar and Goodman Road on their phones laid back. And no matter how many times you tell them, they just don't care until they rear end someone and hurt someone and themselves, and then becomes a reality. But you've got to stop it. It's only getting worse. And I don't think that your age plays much into it. If he's, if he is alert and can drive and pay attention, well, it's always watch out for the other guy around here.
Right.
So, good luck there, dude.
Yeah. So if you have anything you'd like to share with us, go ahead and do that. mail@drakeinthemorning.com is the email address for it.
Dumbasses of the Day coming up. Here is the song that people are hearing and liking. If you like this, you want to add it to your iTunes or whatever the hell it is that you listen to your music on. If you're a Fleetwood Mac fan or like Lindsey Buckingham, who is a great talent in his own right and a great guitar player, incredible player. And Christine McVie, who played keyboards in Fleetwood Mac for many years, took a break, came back. She and Lindsey did an album together that came out a few weeks back. Every song that I've heard sounds great. He is the dominant sound on the album, as he was on many of their songs, but Chris McVie is also there too. Here's the song, Into the Break, new Lindsey Buckingham, Christine McVie. It's called In My World.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.